ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिः शान्तिः शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इस् इन्फिनिट् एण्ड् दिस् यूनिवर्स् इस् आल्सो इन्फिनिट् दि इन्फिनिट् proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the Maitreyi Yajnavalkya Brahmanam. It has 14 mantras. In our last class, we saw how everything can be reduced to existence. And this pure remaining existence is another name for Brahman. In Sanskrit, it is called Sat. And we have to keep in mind, where there is Sat, there will be Chit and there will be Ananda. This is what Swami Vivekananda said, each soul is potentially divine. If we can transpose that word soul and say everything is potentially divine. There cannot be anything other than divine, which is Brahman. And so we have no choice. It is life doesn't give a choice whether I should realize God or not realize God. Because consciously or unconsciously we are struggling. We are praying, in fact, every millisecond, let me not die, let me not be unconscious. We can translate it as, let me not be ignorant, let me be knowledgeable. If we can translate consciousness as true, real knowledge, satyam, satyajnanam, then I want to be, we all want to be infinitely happy for infinite time. That means unbroken bliss. Unbroken happiness is called bliss, anandam. Broken anandam is called sukham. And every sukham is nothing but dukham. How? If we had experienced certain quality and quantity of happiness, and next time we fall down from that happiness, we call it dukkham. It's a matter of comparison. When a person is getting sufficient food, he should be very happy. But he looks up and says, the other man is eating costly, rich, tasteful dishes. So he suffers. I am such an unfortunate person. But if you ask a person who is starving, not getting food, what will you do? If you are provided this poor man's food every day, he would jump up for joy and say, I feel I am in Swargaloka. And if we can achieve that state consciously, then whatever be the circumstances, then we would be extremely happy. I cannot refrain but recollect a beautiful Zen story. There was a great Zen master who never entertained, cherished any wrong feeling towards any woman. And he died. And he had a very devout but somewhat foolish disciple. So the disciple was always remembering his guru, and he also died. And then he found himself in heaven in the presence of his old guru. And what was his greatest delight? A beautiful woman was sitting in the lap of that Zen master. The disciple said, Guruji, now I understand clearly God exists. He is rewarding you for all the austerities you had performed. The guru shouted at him, you stupid idiot, I am not being rewarded.
she is being punished. So, we always, whenever we are unhappy, remember with the things that we have and the way we are right now, in comparison, when we did not have these things, then we would feel very happy and we will never feel sad and bad and worried. Just as an example, to make this point crystal clear, supposing a person had suffered terribly, let us say, from terrible stomachache for a long time, and then he was cured. Previously he was not able to eat anything, digest anything. Now he is able to digest simple things, semi-liquids, boiled vegetables, etc. How happy he feels. Previously he was not able to swallow anything and digest anything. Now by God's grace, I am able to enjoy. And by the way, there are many people, especially the Japanese people, they enjoy boiled vegetables. And their philosophy is, every vegetable has its own unique, special flavor and taste. And only when we add heavy spices, we lose that peculiar sattvic ananda. I myself once tasted this, had this experience in Argentina. And I cannot express how tasty the food was there. Just varieties of vegetables, only purely boiled. And this Japanese restaurant knows how to boil in the right proper manner. Not like Indians who boil so much that practically excepting the Namarupa, nothing is left out. Anyway, coming back, so if we can compare it, develop that mindset, then we will be happy person. So everybody, they have the right to think, I want happiness, because that is their own nature. In fact, no human being, no living creature ever wants anything. And Swami Vivekananda expressed even in greater depth, not only living beings, even every atom is whirling, trying to get away from this bondage. It wants complete freedom. We have to think deeply about this statement. How can a lifeless atom? It is lifeless for ignorant people like us. But it is nothing but Satchidananda for a person who knows the truth. So we had seen that everything, by giving the examples of three instruments, what are the instruments? A drum, a conch, and a veena, and the teaching of Yajnavalkya was, unless we first understand the common sound of each instrument, we cannot grasp, we cannot understand. As a result, we cannot experience the joy that we can get from the variations of that common sound belonging to each specialized instrument. But we should not stop there. So even that sounds, common sounds of the conch, of the drum, of the veena are really special sounds from the viewpoint of samanya shabda, just sound. And that sound is reduced to existence. So go on reducing everything. That means we are destroying the differences. We arrive at pure existence. And that pure existence, another name for that is Brahman. Continuing the same topic, now Yajnavalkya wants to teach in this 10th mantra that the whole srishti is, how did it come? If, for example, a potter had to create a pot, he had to gather the clay, he had to acquire a potter's wheel, then he has to shape that clay into a particular shape. It is not that he can take it. There is a great process of kneading it, like we knead the bread before turning it into toast, and then put it on the wheel. Otherwise, nothing will come out. It will just fall apart. So, it can be malleable, shapeable, and at the same time, it should hold on. And that consistency, when he gets it, he knows it, he puts it, and then he makes it, and then he dries it for some time, and when they're a bit stable, he puts it in fire and bakes it for 10 to 15 days, and that will bring out a beautiful pot will come out. So, the point the Upanishad wants to tell that a lot of labor is involved. Take another example, a couple get married and then they have a child. So, the mother has to sustain that child in her womb for 9 months. And after that, also the mother has to be awake 24 hours, keeping an eye on the child. Tremendous labor. Then whether the child turns out to be a saint or a rogue, a good or evil person, that is all again separate issue. Did Brahman or Brahman as the creator working the job called creation is called Brahma. Does he have to really create in that way? No. Sankalpa Deva. Everything springs out just by his will. That is just like in our dream. The moment a thought comes, here is a tree. And a big, huge tree is present in front of us. Here are fruits, plenty of fruits on the tree. And I am hungry. And I want. And the person approaches the tree. Either it is climbable or shakeable. And then some of the ripe fruits fall down. So, whatever thought comes, without any labor, next instant, we find everything becoming real for us. That's why the study of a dream state is a most marvelous state. That's why the mind is called Kalpa Vriksha. Whatever one thinks, that becomes a reality. But if one doesn't have control over the mind, he can destroy himself. Supposing a tiger has come, and immediately a tiger will come. Suppose it eats me up. Nobody can think, a tiger is approaching me. It is my pet tiger. It is so glad to see me, and it is leaping up and down like a dog. So it recognizes its master. Such a thought, perhaps it comes to very few people. But saints, that is why it is said, wherever a saint lives, there is no enmity. So a deer and a tiger, the eater, the prey animals and the preyed animals, they all live in perfect peace. So such kind of people are very rare. So as an example, this dream, for us to understand clearly that how did this creation come out? Just the breathing out. When we breathe out, there is no effort. That is what we have to understand. But even breathing out or breathing in can require tremendous amount of effort. We have to understand it clearly. But of all the activities, that is the easiest, especially when we are lying down flat on the bed. But if a person is suffering from asthma, you can understand how difficult it is. So this is how we have to understand so naturally, so effortlessly. That is one of the important points Yajnavalkya wants to point out in the next mantra, not in this mantra. The 10th mantra's purpose is to reinforce the same idea that the whole creation has come out of Brahman. Has come means what? Brahman himself is manifesting as this. For that we have seen the 3 examples that by understanding everything is existence, pure existence, reduced to pure existence, then we see no difference between this, the inert smallest thing and the highest, Noera Brahman. Astamba, Abrahma, Stamba, Paryanta. We don't see any difference at all. So, to me, having given the example, those three instruments, first we have to understand their peculiar common sound, then out of that common sound, specialized modifications of that common sound, and then every sound of everything, anything is to be reduced, and that is the manifestation of this animal, that human being, that musical instrument, etc. But we have to understand, we are not talking about sound or form or smell or touch or taste. What we are understanding, everything is reducible to pure consciousness. So first pure existence, then to pure consciousness, and that is pure bliss. That is the point. So to reinforce, in this 10th mantra, Yajnavalkya is trying to tell us something. He gave an example. So supposing there is a wet fuel, some firewood, but it is wet. Not completely wet, but a little bit wet. Sri Ramakrishna also gives this example. When you put wet wood into the fire, it catches the fire, but from behind, the moisture tries to come out. Plenty of smoke will be there. So this wetness creates smoke, and there is no need. As soon as the fire is applied there, so whatever that wetness is there is now thrown out, comes out in the form of smoke. So that is the example he wants to give. Saha yatha ardhra indha agnehe abhi ahita prithak dhumaha vinischarant. As from a fire kindled with damp fuel, clouds of smoke distinct from one another issue forth. That is to say that when we feed wet fuel into fire, smoke comes, sparks come out, different small, big sparks, etc. And they seem to be separate from the fire. In fact, they are not separate from the fire. They are all different formations of the fire alone. That is the fact he wants to give. This is also an analogy, a small example for us to understand. Now he comes into the correct to this one. Beautifully he is telling, evam va are asya mahataha bhutasya nishvasitam etat yat rigvedaha ajurvedaha samavedaha atharva angirasaha. How the four Vedas have come out. Even so, my dear, the Rig Veda, Ajurveda, Samaveda, and Atharva Angirasa, that is Atharvana Veda, these four Vedas came out. That's why the Pauranic equivalent of this Upanishadic statement is, wherever there is Brahma, there would be Saraswati. For ordinary people, he said Brahma is the husband, Saraswati is the wife. But what it means is, they are two sides of the same coin. That is most important. What is Saraswati? Knowledge. And what is Brahma? Pure consciousness. So, pure consciousness, when it comes into association with knowledge, pure knowledge, then only the consciousness can manifest itself. Say, let us say, there is a poet, and the poet has got beautiful mastery of tremendous vocabulary. He has so many dictionaries, or at his fingertips, like AI. Previously, I gave the example of Shankaracharya. He is the master of all existing literature. That is why, without any AI or PC, he can recollect. This Shruti also tells the same thing. He goes on quoting from Prasthana Trayam, which is Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and Brahma Sutras. And he had written commentary on all of them. On 10 Upanishads he had written. But he remembers everything. His memory power was extraordinary. Swamiji's memory power was extraordinary. Sri Ramakrishna's memory power was super extraordinary. So, not only memory power. One may have tremendous power of memory, but to bring it out at the right time and at the right occasion, that is the greatness of great people, and that is possible only by the grace of Mother Saraswati. Coming back, Brahma is associated with Saraswati because his job is creation. Creation requires, what should I create? How should I create? Because creation is not of one object, a billion objects, uncountable, innumerable objects have to create. Not only that which is divine, that which is what is called natural, that which is very subtle, like our mind, buddhi. So, anything other than the Annamaya Kosha, it has to be created. For that, tremendous amount of knowledge is necessary, memory is necessary. So the point is, Brahma and Saraswati cannot be separated. Similarly, Lakshmi and Narayana cannot be separated. So on the one hand, Narayana has got weapons like the chakra, like the gada, mace, and he has got so many powers, mental powers. So, all these is called stick and Lakshmi is called carrot. What am I referring to? When people want to train animals, so they produce peculiar sound. So, dogs, for example, do not understand human language, whether it is Indian language, French language, whatever. It understands certain sounds and that is how at the beginning, when we are babies, we only understand the sounds. Baby, I love you. Somehow, those words stick in the mind of the baby. And the moment it hears that cooing sound, immediately the baby's face breaks into the most lovable smile you can see anywhere in the world. Pure, joyous smile. When we smile, it is like a bhuta, preta, pishacha, laughing like that. So, we have developed that hypocrisy, where we feel like laughing, we weep. When we feel like weeping, we laugh. So, when we feel like laughing, we weep. So, this is how we want to cheat the entire external world. But children, whatever they are doing, first, so much of concentration. If a child is playing with a doll and that person's ekagrata is indescribable. But as we grow, the distractions also grow and the mind also becomes more and more restless and added to that samskaras and it is indescribable. That's why a human being is described by Swami Vivekananda by nature a monkey. It is stung by a scorpion, then it got drunk with liquor, and then it was possessed by a demon. And who can ever describe the restlessness of that monkey? Such is our mind. But as an example, you look at a baby, it trusts everybody until somebody proves to be dangerous. So, animals understand only peculiar sounds, not the language. Sound is separate, language is separate. When a Chinese makes a sound, we do not understand anything. And when we speak something, they do not understand. We cannot understand each other's language. It takes time. So, what is being said here? First, knowledge is required. How to create, what to create, and in which way to create, and memory. Did I create this previously? Then I must have prepared some mold, and I don't need to repeat and go through the same process once more from the beginning. I just bring the mould and pour the raw material, which is Brahman himself, Brahma himself. And then there is a mould for a man mould, tree mound, dog mound, donkey mound, tree mound, an amoeba mound, whatever it is, mould. Everything is a mould. When we pour into that mould, then we see that same thing will come out. And some, it is said, what is not literally to be understood, but only significantly, he breathed life into some. So this is how first knowledge is created, because that knowledge helps the creator to create. Not only that, that knowledge again helps us to go on gradually learning more and more. And the more we learn, along with our learning or understanding, our body also grows, our brain also grows. This is scientifically proven today, that as a person goes on understanding more and more, the capacity of his brain also grows. But it is said that if AI can master everything, some human brains have got that billions and billions of bits of information, of which even the world's greatest geniuses use only perhaps 4 to 6% potential. Just imagine, Swamiji says in his Raja Yoga, if somebody can develop 100% of that potentiality, then he will see his own true nature. And that is what we are struggling for, because we are trying to regain our memory of our own forgotten knowledge about our own true nature. So, what is the first creation? Is Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. And the fourth Veda is called, there was one Rishi called Atharvana, and he is also called Angirasaha, and he mastered tremendous piece of knowledge, including black magic, including several remedies for diseases, etc., and how to control the departed spirits, etc. So that is why the previous rishis did not include this Atharvana Veda for a long time. But then when they perceived many, many people are getting benefit out of this, they probably were forced to accept it as part of the Veda. Veda means what? Knowledge. Veda means knowledge. So not only that, Swamiji used to say that if somebody discovered some tremendous improvements in AI, he is a rishi, AI rishi. Somebody discovered some new mathematical formula, he is a mathematical rishi, like our Bhaskar Raya, etc. So anybody who adds some bit of truth to the existing body of knowledge, he is called a rishi. So any great knowledgeable person has to be revered as a rishi. And truly that is a fact. But then if you say somebody discovered something destructive, don't blame the person, because knowledge is neutral. Same knowledge can save a person, can destroy, can save a life, can take away any life. Same gun can save a person, can also destroy a life. It depends upon the usage. And that is why some of these oligarchs, the whole power in this world is concentrated in just a few, just imagine, 10 or 15 number of people. They are the CEOs of these mega companies. So my point is that knowledge is the first thing. To create anything, some knowledge is required, and how to transform that knowledge into appropriate this one. So knowledge is eternal. It always existed. Every time, the first thing Brahma creates is this Vedas. Vedas also give us that knowledge. What is the goal of life? Who are we? And how to get back to our own real nature? And that is the entire essence of every Veda, every Purana, supposedly the essence of every Dharma Shastra. So many rogues have misinterpreted, miswritten Dharma Shastras, creating terrible amount of misery to, I would say, billions of people, even today. Just as an example, some religions, they torture, stop the education of women, etc. Why? What wrong have they done? They are also creation of God. They may be even better than men, but what right you have got? Because you have the power, you are the ruler, you create the laws, and you want to spread these laws everywhere across. Anyway, that's not our subject. So, that is what he said. Vedas. And these Vedas have to be understood. There are different degrees of intelligence. There are very highly intelligent, less intelligent, even less intelligent, very poor intelligent. So, Bhagavan has to help them also, bestow his grace. So, let me complete first. There was a rishi called Atharvana. He was also called Angirasa. Some people say they are two separate rishis, but they work together. Anyway, so after many centuries, this Atharvana Veda was added. So, that is the first manifestation or out-breath of Brahman before creation. And these Vedas contain how creation can be done. And then to understand these Vedas properly, we require to understand them. Otherwise, even if the truth is there, but I do not understand in the form of a book or in the form of a teacher, it is like a strange language. You go on to tell to an ignorant person, you are God. He will not understand it. But nevertheless, he thinks he is a God. There is no doubt about it. So, the Agnivalka is telling, these very Vedas have to be made available in easily understandable, digestible, helpful scriptures. For that, what happened? Itihasaha, Puranam, Vidyaha, Upanishadaha, Shlokaha, Sutrani. Itihasa means history. So, just in this Upanishad, in this particular Brahmana, so who was Yajnavalkya? Not the complete history, some history is given. He was a householder, he married two wives, and then he was a great jnani, and he argued with the court pandits of Janaka Maharaja. This is called Itihasa. Itihasa means iti, thus, ha means it is a just, a supportive word, that's all. Asaha, it was like this. That means, thus it happened. That is the meaning. So, itihasa and history is very helpful for us to understand, both to inspire and to learn lessons from them. So, studying the life history of Sri Ramakrishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, etc. But at the same time, the teachings they have given have to be put in a, what is called baby food formula. They are called Puranas. So, 36 Puranas are there. 18, they are called main Puranas, and 18 smaller Puranas. Altogether, 36. But they are all stemming from the Vedas only. I will tell you how very soon. Then, different types of Vidyas, that is, the what is called, how to contemplate, and then arts. Vidya here is translated as arts. So, 64 Vidyas are there according to Indian study, arts. So, whether it is instrumental or vocal, and South Indian, North Indian, or the Beethoven's symphonies, all over the world, even ancient people have discovered some instruments which they were playing in their own way, and it had exactly the same effect. Don't think they were crude. This is a misunderstanding we have to get rid of completely. So, how we are happy today, our ancient Stone Age, man also was so happy, probably happier, even in those days, because life was simple. You work hard, try to protect yourself from preying animals, ferocious, big, big animals, especially in the age of dinosaurs, etc., and try to obtain food, and then don't think they were having a horrible time living. No, even if they get something, very happy. And God had provided them with a tremendous power of digestion so that they can eat 3-4 days food at one sitting and then digest it slowly. So even if they do not get food for 3-4 days, they were quite happy. But when it is digested, then they will go. Most of the time, it is uncooked food, and it also did not give them any trouble. But as we developed cooking, then our power of digestion has also come down. There is no doubt about it. So, vidya, arts, not only arts means even dhanurvidya, archery, or khadga yuddha, gada yuddha. These are all arts which human being is a creative animal. He can create. Animals are also very creative. How birds build their nests, some of them. So beautiful, so intricate, so deceptive also sometimes. But then, their creativity is limited only to survive themselves. But human being, he surpasses everything, there is no doubt about it. And he invented this thing called language so that we can communicate easily what we learn to any number of people. And a time is going to come, definitely in another few years' time, how AI can be injected into human beings' brain. So this is a combination of a human, living human brain, and also somehow they will transmit an AI. So he can think like AI and do things like AI, but at the same time, he also remains a living human being. I don't know how it is going to coordinate, what problems it can create, because everything works in both ways. Every piece of knowledge is a double-edged sword, we have to understand. So vidyaha means arts. 64 are supposed to be the vidyas, including medicine, dhanurvidya, the art of archery, astravidya, the art of inventing ferocious weapons like atom bomb, etc., which was called Brahmastra in those days. Then Upanishadaha. So Upanishads, because from Vedas, at the end of the Vedas, each Veda and have divided into certain sections like Brahmanas. And then at the end of it, the Upanishads will come. As we have seen that one, first is Mantra, then it is Brahmana, then it is Aranyaka, then in the end it is called Upanishad, every Veda. So, every Veda has produced several Upanishads. All these have sprung from Brahma. Brahma himself, God himself, is manifesting as knowledge. Saraswati is not somebody sitting there and doling out knowledge. Saraswati herself is manifesting in the form of knowledge, like water. Wherever it finds a lowly place, immediately walks there and fills it up. So when a mind is ready, that Saraswati flows in the form of knowledge, and knowledge manifests in the form of speech and also appropriate emotions, etc. Then shlokas, like Bhagavad Gita shlokas. So if it is not Upanishads, these are called shlokas usually. Sometimes Vedic mantras are also called Upanishads. And then sutrani. There are so many people who mastered this higher knowledge and wanted to pass it to their disciples, they taught them. Having taught, let us say, chapter by chapter, point by point, they give a sutra. What is a sutra? A mnemonic, which helps people to memorize. And just like you memorize something, what is called a list of items to be purchased. And some people have invented a mnemonic method. So the wife tells or somebody tells, so you buy some fruits and you buy some leaves also, lettuce, etc. You buy some white paper, notebooks or some pens or pencils like that. Make a list. But how to remember all the items? So imagine you are going there and then you climb a tree and then pick up some fruits and also you notice they're beautiful. Some plants are growing below, round the tree. That is the leafy vegetables. So you pick them up and then suddenly you come across, in imagination, a big book and a big pencil. So that is how connect one thing to the other, or gather these fruits, gather the lettuce, and suddenly you are searching for something to carry them. And a huge sheet of paper bag is there. Oh, that paper bag reminds you, for my child, I have to purchase a notebook. And then at the end, maybe a broken pencil is there. You remember it. This is how connect one object with the other object. And if we make a practice of it, it is highly effective. Memory also improves. And it improves by practice. So this is how. This is called Sutrani. But then in course of time, the original people who taught it as well as who understood it have disappeared. But then somehow the sutra literature, is because it is only very short aphorism, it was memorized, and that memorization was passed in course of time to the later generations, and by that time the art of writing has developed on our old palm leaves, etc. Then in the 13th or 14th century, China had invented the printing press. How? This China had invented many wonderful things and it is doing it with more vigor even today. So this is how, from the Vedas, they are the main source. All these history, mythology, arts, Upanishads, shlokas like Bhagavad Gita, etc., and even the Tantric Shastras, etc., and then Dharma Sutras, then Sutrani, whether it is Brahma Sutra, Dharma Sutra, Yoga Sutra, like that, all these have come. But then, in course of time, people required somebody to teach them. So, Vyakhyanani, Anuvyakhyanani, hi asya eva etani nishvasitani. Brahman has manifested himself in the form of knowledge as Saraswati in the minds, buddhi, intellect of some people, and the future generations will not be able to understand these particular things. So, like Shankaracharya's commentary, and then commentary upon commentary, that is Sureshwaracharya's vritti, is called beautiful Taittiriya Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, then Vartika it is called, then people like Ananda. So he has written so many beautiful notes clarifying some of the terms used by Shankaracharya. So Vyakhyana means elaboration so that other less intelligent people can understand these original scriptures or even sutras. And then even those commentaries had become tough. So somebody had to really find out what are the difficult words that are used and combined together, how to make them easily understandable. to other people. So, they have done anuvyakhya, that is, commentary upon the commentary. Then tika, like Sridhara's tika on Bhagavad Gita, or Sridhara's tika on the Bhagavatam, Sridhariya tika. So many great acharyas have done, like Anandagiri himself had added, explained the terms used by Shankara in his commentaries, and without that help, we would not be, or it will be very difficult for us to understand the complete meaning. Asya eva etani nishvasitani. All these things are the outpourings, outbreathings, as if breathe in, breathe out. So it is also commented, breathe in means what? So the whole thing take inside yourself. Keep it inside for some time. Then breathe out. So create something, maintain that something which was created, and then take it back again. So from karana to karya to again karana. So as I was telling earlier, so Vishnu was supposed to protect this world like a policeman. So he has to reward those whose behavior is approved with happiness, positive. And some people's character has to be corrected. Actions have to be corrected. For that, stick is necessary. So, Lakshmi is the reward for living. Lakshmi means not never misinterpret as only money. Lakshmi means ananda. After all, if you have money, you earn. Money may not make you happy. In fact, most of the time it will make us unhappy. Just a funny example was given by the Future Shock book. Previously, there was only one radio that was manufactured by Philips. And there is no conflict in your mind. You pay the price and then you buy it and bring back. No conflict. But now, for the same price, there are 100 different companies are manufacturing. And everything has got something special. The moment, even before buying, even at the pay counter, you are having, have I made a mistake? Should I have bought the other one? So, is somebody planning to rob me of my property, etc.? Not only that, I have to tell you something very interesting. If somebody had married a beautiful, let us say, wife, and vice versa, a very beautiful, but at the same time very talented, rich man. So, the men will be very jealous that why could not I marry this woman. And the other wives, women will be very jealous that what right this woman has got to get such a husband. My God, anything that makes other people jealous is a cause for worry. Anyway, what I wanted to tell, that if somebody behaves properly, then that person must be encouraged, and that is called Lakshmi, or give ananda. If somebody is misbehaving, he should be taught properly, trained properly. For that, punishment is necessary. That is how animals are trained. Dolphins, whales, sharks were trained, horses are trained, anything is trained, even children also. In the previous time, teachers used to slap or pinch the thighs of young children, etc. So this is part of a growth, evolution. So from Brahman came the entire knowledge that we have. And we have to make that knowledge our own. And then we have to translate that knowledge into making our life more productive, more creative, more happy, less worrying, and that would be our job. That is called evolution. And ultimately, if we do it properly, and we will be forced to do it properly, any number of births will be given. There is no choice. We have to go back from where we have come. And this is what, in this 10th mantra, Yajnavalkya wants to teach. The whole universe, Srishti, first in the form of knowledge has come out, and then we have seen at other places how is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra have been, Chaturvarnya, Maya, Srishtam, Gunakarma, Vibhakashaha, then how in the Chandogya we have seen, so each pair of just reciting the male, what is called the bull and the cow, the male horse, the female horse, male dog, female dog, male bird, female dog, etc., the whole creation has come out. So, that what is the purpose? Purpose is your real parent, your only parent is Brahman. You are a child of God. You are potentially divine. So, you will have to really understand your true nature and you have to go there. That is the essence, that is the meaning we have to understand. And still, again, we have to go back only to that source. So wherever from we have come, that coming down process is called involution, and going back process to the source from where we have come and become one with that final ultimate cause is called evolution, purpose of evolution. Once we realize we are Brahman, then the purpose of creation is over. We need not be reborn at all. We will talk about these lofty subjects in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.